Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Twitter's 330 million users are being urged to change their passwords after some were exposed on its internal network in plain text. Ford is developing a new smart car window to enable blind passengers to experience the passing landscape. Imagine the frustration of playing a game where the difficulty level constantly changes. That's what an experiment in AI technology is doing to some retro classics. Equifax has published yet more details on the personal records and sensitive information stolen by miscreants after they hacked its database last year. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Twitter's 330 million users are being urged to change their passwords after some were exposed on its internal network in plain text. An error in the way passwords were handled meant that some were stored in an easily readable form, said Twitter. The passwords should have been put through a procedure called hashing, making them very difficult to read, but the bug caused the passwords to be stored on an internal computer before the hashing process was completed. In a blog, the social network said once the mistake was uncovered, it carried out an internal investigation which found no indication passwords were stolen or misused by insiders. However, it still urged all users to consider changing their passwords out of an abundance of caution. Twitter did not say how many passwords were affected, but it is understood that the number was substantial and that they were exposed for several months. Troy Hunt, who runs the Have I Been Owned website, which keeps a log of breaches, said the error was not something that would worry him because there was no indication that the login passwords were seen outside the company. Still, he urges users to act on Twitter's advice and change their passwords. Independent security expert Graham Cluley reminds us that enabling two-factor authentication adds another ID check to login attempts, which would help harden accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Two-factor authentication.
Yes.
I am new to it, but I've been part of the show for long enough to understand that it's really important for security. So I now have two-factor authentication right now only on my Steam account.
Okay.
It's annoying.
It can be.
But it's every time I do it, every single time I'm trying to log in on Steam, and then I'm like, ding, oh, there's my code being texted to my phone.
Yeah.
And I get up and I go to my phone and I come back. Like, I feel a little bit better, right? Like, I feel okay, not just anybody could just try and figure out my password.
Sure, yeah.
I love it. Should we just start embracing two-factor authentication just across the board?
I think it's definitely a good security mechanism. I mean, it is what it is. It's not perfect, but it's something additional. So what that means, two-factor authentication, instead of just entering my Twitter password, when I do, it will send me a text, and then I have to then enter the text code.
Right.
So two-factor authentication makes sure that I am who I say I am because I'm using the phone that is associated with my account, which is great.
I find that with Twitter, wouldn't you be on your phone though with Twitter?
Yeah. But usually you get a notification and you can see it and it's like 54321.
Right.
So 54321 and you're done.
I like it. Yeah. I mean, I realize it is not fun. Like it's not easy, but it makes me feel safer that it's not easy.
I think, though, that better than anything out there is just do not use the same password on multiple sites, on multiple services.
Right.
Because if the Twitter employees were malicious and took those passwords, which were stored in an internal log in plain text format. Yeah, they could. And if they did and they realized, oh, well, Sasha's password is also the one that she uses on her online banking and does not have two-factor authentication on that process, I can now access your banking. So it's important to have different passwords on everything.
Right, which is something I don't do. Mm-hmm. But the reason for it is the same reason that so many people don't do it. Because mm-hmm. it's impossible to remember a password.
Sure.
Now, I do have like a program, like it used to be
a program.
I'm searching for the word. It used to be Password Box and then it was bought by somebody else. I have that one.
TrueKey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it, I can only save so many passwords on it because it's, mm-hmm. right? So because of that, I don't have a lot of passwords.
I use LastPass now since Password Box was bought out. I didn't want to switch to Intel because it was McAfee owned. So
I should have been here for that episode. Did you say that?
Probably. I don't know. Isn't it public knowledge that we don't want to deal with McAfee?
Well, it is, but it was just like the simple transition because they're like, we're just changing all your stuff.
Yeah.
Should not have done that. Evidently, I like easy, except when it comes to two-factor authentication. I want to actually have to get up off my couch, walk to my phone, mm-hmm. get it, and be like, okay, yes, indeed, this is me, so that nobody hacks into my Steam account.
That's something.
Yes.
That's something.
Okay. Thank you, Twitter, for not releasing everybody's passwords.
And if you are a Twitter user, it's important that you do change your password. And if you use that same password on other services, you need to change it there as well.
Yeah, like your online banking or something.
That's a good example, but
anywhere.
Anything. You know, anything. That's the scenario.
Ford is developing a new smart car window that will enable blind passengers to experience the passing landscape.
Oh.
A prototype called Field of View uses high contrast photos to reproduce scenery using LED lights. Passengers can touch the display to feel different shades of gray vibrate at different intensities. The Royal National Institute of Blind People said the charity wholeheartedly supports the company's effort. Robin Spinks, innovation manager at R&B, says the technology could contribute to breaking down barriers and making travel more enjoyable and inclusive for people living with sight loss. Ford's team in Italy and GTB Roma designed the prototype with Adeo, a local startup that creates devices for people with visual impairments. In addition to the window displays, the smart car also features a voice assistant that uses artificial intelligence to describe the scenery outside the window.
Neat.
This is really cool and like really leads me to think, okay, so if they can do this, can they do it with art? Right? So then, right? Or could they do family
they
photos?
They really don't like people touching the Mona Lisa.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they could do a representation of the Mona Lisa where you touch it and you can feel the different colors by the vibration.
Computer screens?
Right.
Using similar technology?
I love this. And it makes me wonder, is there a way, and I know you won't have the answer to this. I don't.
Oh, I probably will.
Okay. When you have a part of your, say, your brain blind, right? So it's your brain that does it. It's not your eyes that are blind, but your brain blind. Can you rewire so that you can, like, your visual kind of indicators are, like, you feel something, but you can kind of see it in your mind?
Yeah, I think you were right the first time that I wouldn't know the answer
right?
to this.
Could you actually, like, who knows? People are driving by and doing the scenery. They're blind and they're feeling what's going on.
Yeah.
Perhaps finally they're reigniting parts of their brain visually.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know, but
sure. I wonder what that sensation would be like though for somebody who is unable to see but is able to now feel the mountainscape that's going by on the outside of the window. And I mean, can I take it to one step further?
Yes.
We talked about Tesla and their autonomous vehicles and how it's really unsafe for people to just stop paying attention to the road right now.
Well, some of us think that.
And in fact, last week you mentioned somebody got arrested for switching over to the passenger seat and allowing the car to drive by themselves.
Right.
But isn't it true that companies like Tesla and Ford and other automobile manufacturers are working toward a fully autonomous vehicle?
Right.
So if that's what they're working toward, could this be, maybe this is prophetic, but could Ford be working on, in secret, a car for blind people.
I would love that.
Think about it.
I would love it.
The car does the driving for you.
Yes.
You can feel the sensor to see
what's
going on around you and to see what is outside your windows.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be the next step? Could that be something that they are actually
working on? I would love that.
If I disappear and there's no show next week, you'll know I'm right.
Right. They're gonna
because
hide
the
it.
Henchmen are already after me for this. The Ford henchmen.
don't worry, they'll
break down on their way here.
Hey now.
Hey.
I love it.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yes.
What do you think? Is Robbie right?
Well, I'm not arguing against it, so you're right.
I think that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. They're
It makes no sense for them to be making a window that you can touch that is like Braille. That makes no sense.
They want you
unless blind people 10 years from now will be able to drive a car and they want it to be a Ford. That's my theory.
Yes. I imagine that this is true.
Cool. How stinking cool.
Imagine the frustration of playing a game where the difficulty level can constantly change. That's what an experiment in AI technology is doing to some retro classics. AI researchers do love their games, and two papers have shown that they can use general adversarial networks, or GANs, to make old favorites a lot more interesting. In two separate papers, AI researchers built general adversarial networks to construct new video games for retro classics, Super Mario Brothers and Doom. GANs were first introduced in 2014. The system is made up of two networks, a generator and a discriminator. The generator creates fake samples of training data, and the discriminator tries to determine if the samples are real or fake. Both networks spar with one another, and over time, the generator learns to forge more realistic samples to trick the discriminator. By applying them to entertainment, the researchers hope that they will be used to help humans design better video games in the future. The Doom paper details, a level design is usually heavily relies on domain expertise, good practices, and an extensive playtesting. Though to deal with these issues, several game researchers are spending considerable effort on studying and designing procedural content generation systems that, exploiting machine learning and search algorithms, can model the level design process and assist human designers. Adam Smith, co-author of the paper and an assistant professor at the University of California, said Mario GAN creates new levels very quickly but occasionally makes structural mistakes such as incompletely assembling pipe tiles. It's a similar process for Doom. 1,000 Doom levels are processed into a set of training images that include the game's most important features, the walkable area, walls, floor height, objects, and room segmentation. But if you're itching to have a go at those AI-generated games, you'll have to wait a while. Both projects are still prototypes and can't be played quite yet. Although the code for the Super Mario GAN can be found on GitHub. Sebastian Risi, who co-authored the paper, said it's a problem that the team are working on. He says, in the next version, we want to create a level that continually adapts its difficulty to the player.
Oh, no way.
Love it.
Could you imagine? This is the future of games here.
This is not just the future of games, in my opinion. I actually think that this is the future.
The future is just like everything's controlled by AI.
This is the future
and it creates our world
of learning. Okay, so if you follow me here.
Yeah.
Okay, so say hypothetically you have a VR headset and you're playing in a VR game and it's a simulation game. And say it's something small at first, right? It's something where you have to move an object, right? And it gets harder and harder where eventually you all of a sudden have like a mechanical expertise because it's evolving with you.
Sure.
Or you become a neurosurgeon, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
This is what I'm saying. It's teaching you.
Thinking about the games, we talked with Richard Portelli yes. way back, episode number 512. I just wanted to quickly search our website, category5.tv, for this Hexachords Orb Composer. Do you remember that interview?
Yes.
We were talking about how they had developed an artificial intelligence to automatically adapt the music of a game to suit the mood of where you are in the game.
Right.
So if you're in a forest, all of a sudden it's kind of like a little bit of a pad kind of sounding ambiance. Right. And then you get into a really racy kind of adventure set, and all of a sudden it's really dun, 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 and it's all automatic.
Right.
Through AI. Now, what if we took Orb Composer and integrated it into this AI system that creates the levels, and you're playing this game in virtual reality with your Vive on.
Right.
And it is always, always, always different.
That is awesome.
Virtual reality becomes reality.
Right. This would grow like just the mind of, like, the cognition of people so much, because get stagnated. You're in a game that you love, so you play it a lot, but it's easy.
You get good at the level.
You get
really good at the level.
This is going to
Mario Bros. I can just ace
right.
level one, world one.
Well, now there's a new shell, or now there's a new, right? Like, something's happening where you would usually jump. Man. You can't jump there anymore, and it happens fast, and you have to react quickly.
In real time.
And it
Come
makes you better at life, because now you're using...
Oh, this is getting good.
Right? You're using the training now that you're training your brain, and you're training your responses, and you're training your reflexes in a position
Neat.
Where you're relaxed, but now you're taking that into the real world.
Right, right, right.
And you're a better driver because of it. Or
What if you are autistic? Or what
right.
if you have, like, PTSD or something like this, and are able to cope with that through a reality scenario? So
exactly.
now game development becomes not level creation, but more scenario development.
Right.
So here's the scenario. Here are the specifications. We know that the PTSD that this person is dealing with has to do with this. So let's create a scenario around that idea and allow the AI to adapt to
right.
it.
Well, yeah. Even like, I think about like team safety training. There are scenarios for, say, emergency responders that they wouldn't even think could possibly happen. Right? You cannot imagine
sure.
the thing. Somebody can fall between two walls that you never even thought would happen. But the AI could probably come up with a scenario, right? Right? So all of a sudden, you're in a realistic feeling scenario, so that when a call does come in and something bad has happened, you already have the composure emotionally. Okay, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And then you go
Been
and
there,
you do it.
Been there, done that through my Vive.
Yeah.
That's gaming. Oh, man, there's so much potential in this. I know. They're nowhere near that yet. It's still Super Mario Bros. Levels, and they haven't got them to create the pipes correctly. But thinking in the future, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we were looking at games that had terrible graphics compared to what we've got now.
Right.
So it could happen.
This is happening. We are going to become such a better species because of this. Like, we're going to just be far more aware.
I see it as a real opportunity for entertainment. Think about that scenario idea, creating a scenario for a TV show, and then allowing the AI to create the characters and have them interact with one another.
Right.
And then have Orb Composer create the music for you.
I just know from my personal experience that I'm becoming a better boxer. So,
there you go.
Right?
Because you were just a mediocre boxer previously.
Before, I never done a boxing match. And now that I've been playing boxing video games, it feels real. And I would never be in a boxing ring. Are you kidding me? I'm 5 feet tall. But I feel like these sorts of games are actually what will train people.
Okay. Police and fire departments and
I like it.
Very cool.
You know
Very
what
cool.
I don't like is this is next story.
Uh-oh.
Equifax has published yet more details on the personal records and sensitive information stolen by miscreants after they hacked its databases last year. The cyber break-in occurred because Equifax ran an unpatched and therefore insecure version of Apache Struts, something it blamed on a single employee. That said, just 3 months ago at the RSA conference in San Francisco, Derek Weeks of Sonatype claimed thousands of companies still continue to download vulnerable versions of Struts. The good news, the number of individuals affected by Equifax network intrusion has not increased from the 146.6 million that Equifax previously announced. But extra types of records accessed by the hackers, however, have turned up in Mandiant's outgoing audit of the security breach. On Monday, Equifax submitted a letter to the SEC, Corporate America's financial watchdog. Brace yourself. Here's a summary of the numbers, as well as the 146.6 million names, 146.6 million dates of birth, 145.5 million social security numbers, 99 million street addresses, and 209,000 payment cards, including the number and expiry date. The company has now said that there were also 38,000 American driver's license and 3,200 passports stolen as well. The extra data elements, the company said, didn't involve any individuals not already known to be part of the super hack, so no additional consumer notifications are required. Yikes. This is just like heebie-jeebie stuff. Like, yeah. Do you have advice on how to prevent that? You can't prevent it.
This is Equifax.
Yeah.
Like, you trust them with your data because they're
Equifax.
They're Equifax. Like, they are...
What can you even do?
You can't do anything. Like, can you start life over? Because they have the power to make or break people based on their credit scores.
Right. And now, like, I just think the stuff that's been stolen is the way to create an entire identity. Really. Like, okay, now I know your name. I know your birthday. I know your address. I know your credit card number and expiry date. I know your passport number.
Yep.
I know your driver's license. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything? Am I missing anything where I could just walk in somewhere and say, okay, listen, I forgot my ID, but here are some things you need to know about me. Do you believe I am who I say I am?
I'm Sasha Rickman.
Right.
And here's my driver's license.
I worked at a bank. I worked at a bank and I was not hacked. That's wrong. I was somebody stole from me.
Phishing scam or something?
Somebody walked in and this is Yeah, and they
did they trick
forgot.
You with words?
Yeah, they
words?
Tricked me with their words.
Okay.
So I'm sensitive to this because it happened to me and I no longer work at a bank.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if somebody has enough information that they can have a conversation with you and sound confident enough in it, people are going to believe that you are who you say you are.
Yeah.
And they just are.
And maybe that's it. And there's a flip side to that, Sasha, in that if somebody has enough information about you personally, you will believe that they are who they say they are.
Right.
So on the entire flip side of someone pretending to be you, there is someone calling you up and pretending to be someone they're not and presenting themselves with information that convinces you that they are that.
Exactly. Yeah.
For example, hi, Sasha Rickman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's this? Oh, this is Dave Jenkins from RBC, Royal Bank of Canada. And we see that you have an account with us and your account number is such and such. And here's your, we've got your date of birth, for example, so that we can now confirm to you that we are who we say we are. So, you know, I'm the bank and I'm calling because there's been an exploit at the bank and we need you to immediately sign in to our web portal in order to add two-factor authentication to your account so that your account cannot be compromised and your money stolen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a link to this portal that's going to allow you to add the two-factor authentication, so I'll send that over to you now. I already have your email address. Don't worry. Here it is.
Oh,
you received that? Okay, yeah. Click there. Okay, now push that button. Yeah, now log into your online banking. Perfect. Have a nice day.
Oh.
Exactly. Now I've transferred all your money away.
Yeah,
like, just an example, right?
It's just, I don't even... It's unspeakably scary how bad this would be. I mean, I guess Equifax has notified the people who are victim to this. But how do you know, if it's not Equifax, how do you know that this hasn't already happened to you? You can't necessarily know. You really have to walk with caution. The part that scares me, the part that really scares me in this whole thing, and I'm still on me trying to prove who I am in this situation, if I did indeed lose all of my stuff, and now there's this increased level of skepticism, who's going to believe I am who I am?
Sure.
Because now they're just going to assume everybody's stolen everybody else's data.
And how do you prove
you're you anymore?
And how do you prove any? Like, I have had it happen before this breach where somebody had somehow put a debt on my Equifax record that did not exist.
Right.
Like, it was something like $11.6 million, and it was ridiculous. So I had to fight it to get them to get it removed from my credit record because I couldn't buy a house. I couldn't do right. anything because this was on my credit record. Somebody had been able to compromise my record like that. So then when a bank would check my account through yeah. Equifax to see if I can get a house.
Like, what do
sorry,
you already
no,
own?
You owe $11.6 million, which I do not.
Right. Thankfully. Or
yes.
you have a house already, I feel
thankfully.
Like.
Thankfully. Yeah.
Yeah,
thankfully I was able to yeah. prove otherwise. But what about a case where they have access to all of your information and can now damage your credit rating and everything else? It's a scary situation. So what can you do? Really just keep a close eye on your bank accounts, keep a close eye on things, make sure your passwords are up to date, make sure you are very cautious of phishing scams like that phone conversation that RBC just had right. with Sasha Rickman.
But it can also happen in person.
It can.
Which is scary. Mm-hmm. Just you have to be extra cautious right across the board.
Trust no one.
That breaks my heart.
I know. It's such a world. Such a world.
There's more good out there than bad.
It's true. Let's keep it that way.
Okay.
All right.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson. Thank you for joining us this week.